This is like a little tiny reservoir of water. And anything that comes in creates commotion and turmoil. A great devotee, Paramdrishta Nivartate, Vishayava Nivartante, Nirahara Sidehina Rasa. Because his consciousness is merged into the ocean of Krishna's beauty, Krishna's qualities. When these desires and thoughts come into our mind by the influence of this material energy, they cannot affect, they just turn away from it.
He transcends the rivers because it's so full, it just doesn't care for them.
Transcends the rivers because it's so full, it just doesn't care for them. But he still sees them. He still witnesses them, but he doesn't care for them. Because it's Parandrishta Nivartate. Because he's tasting something so much greater. He just doesn't care for these things. Prabhupada used the example that hog is eating stool. If you eat nice halava, you don't care for stool anymore. Right? And if you've never tasted halava, you think stool is all there is. So these things may be there, and you see them, and you witness them, but you don't care for them. You neglect them.
Even in the spiritual world, the thoughts will come like this.
In the spiritual world, there's nothing that will induce those thoughts. In the material world, everything is there to induce the thoughts, but because we're so much fixed in Krishna, that these thoughts simply we transcend, which means we are not affected by them. We can easily, we are above them, but they're there. But in the spiritual world, there is nothing to induce such thoughts. Everything is Krishna. Everything and everyone around is simply Krishna. Simply inducing us to give Krishna pleasure.
So is it something like a man?
There's different levels of pure devotees too. There's different levels of pure devotees.
So is it something like a man sitting on the street and watching life going by? He's not affected, he's just coming and going. Similarly, thoughts he's observing as if he's an external person. Thoughts come and go, but he's not disturbed by them. Is it something like that?
That's more like a jnani. He's trying to be like that. A devotee is just so busy engaged in Krishna's devotional service, so busy tasting the sweetness of his name, that when these thoughts come, he just doesn't have time for them. He has no attraction for them. Yes, he sees them go by, but he's not just sitting on the side of the road just watching the thoughts.
He's
busy. The thoughts are coming by, and obviously he notices them. But he's too busy, he's too much absorbed in the higher taste of bhakti. With these thoughts, although they're coming, he's not just sitting watching them. But they're coming, no matter. He just doesn't care for them. Just like Haridas Thakur, when he was sitting in his bhajan kutir, Benapol, and then that prostitute came. She was exposing the private parts of her body in such a way to seduce him. But what was he doing? Obviously, the thought came to his mind. How could it not? It's right in front of what your senses provoke thoughts, right? But he was so much immersed in tasting the infinite bliss of Krishna's name. He saw it. He didn't care for it. Didn't have any attraction for him. He was too busy with Krishna. He was so much immersed in the divine beauty of Krishna that this lump of flesh and blood, although it was there, you just neglected it.
Well, first the thought comes, means first the object is there or the thought first comes. So if you see something, then only the desire comes or first the desire comes.
Everything is based on our desire. But Maya provokes these desires through the objects of the senses. And unless the idle mind is the devil's workshop, unless our mind is fully engaged in the higher activities of Krishna consciousness, then we will definitely, even Vishwamitramuni. Vishwamitramuni was sitting on the side of the road watching the thoughts go by. But because he didn't have a higher occupation, when Menaka came walking down the road, he was not able to control himself. Right? So this is the impersonal school, and the yogic school is like this, just sitting and watching them go by and just neglecting them, just not giving in to them no matter what. But ultimately, you cannot keep doing that because the soul is looking for pleasure and in the ordination. Therefore, if we fix our mind in Parandra Svalivata, to the higher things, Haridas Thakur, chanting Krishna's name. Guru Goswami said, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna produce. So conquer my mind, conquer my senses. Then when the sense objects come into our life, we see them, we know, we recognize them. Highest order.
Well, we were reading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. We were reading the section where Lord Chaitanya is describing the different stages of attaining love of God. And he mentions Thaiba. He finds there is a stage beyond which there can be no more fall down. But all stages below that, even up to Bhava Bhakti or something, can fall down. But once you reach Thai Bhava, So even, so pure devotee also the various levels. Beyond a certain level, once he is reached, but we don't know whether he reached Thai Bhav or not, so we cannot comment, right? It is not for us to judge who is beyond a certain stage and who is what. We cannot understand.
If someone is properly situated, repeating the words of Parampara, and really living in that pure devotional spirit, complete surrender and sacrifice, that we can see. That we can witness through our ears and through our eyes. But exactly what that person's bhava is, or what his level of rasa is, we cannot understand. That is why our parampara is more concerned with the principles of surrender to the previous guru and the principles of these than just like someone was telling me that someone had dreamed that Radharani initiated and they became pure bhaktas. These things, I mean, it's just a matter of taking someone's word for it. How can we understand these things? Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. Therefore, our parampara does not concern itself at all with these types of evaluations of mortal routines. We can judge, we have the power to judge that this person is surrendering to the Guru Parampara, and this person is completely, by his activities and words, fixed in Krishna consciousness, fixed in devotional service, fixed in the holy name, fixed in Krishna, always talking about Krishna, always inspiring others to talk about Krishna, always engaging the senses in devotional activities. You can see a person's empowerment in this way. These things we can see, we can judge, we can understand. But honestly, do you have the power to understand beyond that? Can you be honest?
No, we don't.
Beyond that, if we have to, it's based on faith. But if our faith is situated on this foundation, these basic principles of what we can understand, then our faith is properly situated, and that faith can take us back to God.
Even from bhava bhakti stage we can fall down from very high stages.
Bharat Maharaj.
Yeah, was in bhava.
He was in bhava. But he fell down to material attachment. He was weeping, he was crying in ecstatic love. Wasn't he? You've read the Bhagavad Gita? Still Maya tricked him. Right? You know the story part? What does it say about it? Were you on that level when he was sitting on the Gandaki River and he was just meditating on Krishna and he was weeping and his hairs were standing on end and his body was trembling? He was ecstatic transformations. And he wasn't just showboating, trying to make disciples. He was there. He was really in the internal bhava, love of God. But even under that situation, it's like what I was saying. The objects of the senses came, Maya is so powerful. And he got attached to that little baby deer. And by that attachment, he literally gave up his devotional service. But Krishna says, Chitram Bhavati Dharamatma Shashvash Chanti Nagachati Kuntala Pratijani Namaya Bhakta Parishati. Because he's my devotee, because he surrendered to me, I will lift him up. I will bring him back to his righteous, pure state. Krishna put him in the body of a deer. Then he put him in the body of Jad Bharat, and he brought him back to his pure devotional state. So he was under the protection of Krishna, even though he fell down. It was temporary. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate nana nirhanyava sadhur eva samantabhat samyak bhavishita visha. So how can we criticize Bharat Maharaj? Even though, yes, he fell down, because he was somehow or other, even in that stage of bhava, he was allured by that little deer. whether it's a deer or whether it's Menaka, it's the same principle, isn't it? Material attachment. And Krishna was right there by his side because of his surrender. I will protect you. My devotee will never be vanquished by Maya. I will protect you. He's rightly situated. But Haridas Thakur, he was far beyond that state of Maharaj Parash. He was really, truly on the highest levels. Even Maya herself, personally manifested, personified before him as the most beautiful creature I've seen, to try to get to seduce him. Ultimately, because he was so fixed in the holy name, she became his disciple. Maya asked Haridas for initiation.
Like, you know, we are engaged in devotional service. But in due course of time, somebody is like our own god brother. If he becomes more advanced, he becomes more empowered by Krishna, he can preach more. And we become envious, even though we are engaged in devotional service. Is it kind of a fall now? It's like in the case of Prabhupada also, many of his god brothers, they were gurus, but we can't say that they were envious, but it's Prabhupada's, is it kind of
yes, it is a fall now. But in one sense, just like what we are discussing, this is like the rivers coming in, the rivers of envy. The fall down is not that we feel envious. The fall down is we act envious. It's like if you think of sex life, is that a fall down? But if you act for it, it's a fall down. Huh? If you think of going to the cinema, is that a fall down? But if you go, it's a fall down. Huh? So similarly, envy is just, it's within the energy of this in Kali Yuga. These influences are everywhere. Lust, envy, anger, pride, greed. And they're going to attack you. And the more advanced we are, the less we're affected by them. It's a fall down when we allow that envy to control our mind and act according to envy's dictations. When we criticize that person, we behave envious toward that person, it's not. But if we feel envious and we understand what's happening, we take shelter of Krishna, take shelter of his name, and try to restrain and try to purify ourselves from it, that's not a fault. It's just part of the process of making advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Well, most of the time we just not feel envious, we act also.
Huh?
Most of the time, it is just not, we don't feel it, we just act upon it. Even like some of the Prabhupada God brothers, they criticize Prabhupada.
How can you say we don't feel it?
Even we feel, but we don't stop there, we just act upon it. Prabhupada's God brothers, they criticize.
Some of them. We cannot say they have fallen down from their devotional service. But they are definitely falling down from pleasing Krishna to that extent. And what their motive is, we do not know. They may say things, but what is their motive? We do not know. Maybe some lila. Just to further glorify Prabhupada. The fact that he remained so fixed and so pure without the support, glorifies him more. Correct? So we should not judge them, because Prabhupada told us not to judge them. But at the same time, Prabhupada explained the principle that tendency is very strong in us, to be envious of those who are. That is a material quality. And those material qualities are all around us. The question is, are we going to welcome it into our heart? Or Are we going to shut the door and say, get out? Vishwamitramuni opened the door and asked the door of his heart to say, Menaka, please come in. But Haridas Thakur kept all the doors and windows locked, and he was just in there chanting Hare Krishna. Right? So in the same way, lust, anger, pride, envy, they are going to come into your heart. They're everywhere. No matter who you are, no matter how advanced you are, how do you respond to it? That is the question. We should be so busy serving the Vaishnavas, so busy trying to be a humble servant, that we don't have time to be envious of anyone else. If we're actually really sincere, if someone's doing well, we should think, oh, this is another devotee I can be a humble servant of. Wonderful. But when we criticize, when we try to behave on that platform of envy, then that is a subtle thing at all. Krishna will deal with us accordingly.
I was reading somewhere in Prabhupada's book that even Bilvamangal Thakur was in bhava stage in real life. And then with this kind of activities, very difficult to judge what kind of...
But then what happened right after?
Yeah, in a moment it just changed. So you can tell also by how quickly a person gives up sense gratification, that in the earlier life he was more advanced.
You see, even very, very advanced devotees, they still have the conditionings of their past. Even in a very advanced state, and sometimes apiche sutaracharo, sometimes that the power of Maya just catches you. I mean, what was Bharat Maharaj's weakness? His weakness was actually based on compassion. I mean, his nature as a pure devotee was so compassionate that he couldn't tolerate seeing this deer suffering, this little baby deer. But Maya is so powerful that she'll even try to get you on the basis of your best qualities. And he showed compassion. And what was Maya's trick? Although he was showing compassion, there was absolutely no one else to take care of. He would have to either let that little baby deer die, or he would have to take care of himself. Right? And he couldn't tolerate letting the baby deer die. So he took care. But in order to take care, he had to give up all his spiritual practices. He couldn't do both. So his compassion was his weakness. In that sense. But because it was based on that good motive, it was not based, it was obviously a previous condition. He was a king, he was kind-hearted, he was always trying to help his citizens, he was willing to give his life for anyone, right? But because it was well situated, from that experience, he was quickly brought to a much higher level than he ever was before. Right? Through learning from that experience, he completely transcended, as Judd Bharat. There was just no question of him falling down for anything, right? But it was because of his remembrance of his two previous births that he was on that level. Krishna put him on that level.
As far as our movement is concerned, it's a preaching movement, we say. And in preaching, unless until we don't have a compassionate attitude, we cannot go ahead. So, how to keep an angle altogether that this is the only angle I can have a compassionate attitude? If I pass this angle, Maya can attack me altogether. So, how to keep that angle? This is the only angle I have to have a compassionate attitude. For us, no. Especially when we come in front of the Matajis. And so we have to. What is the angle?
We have to be very careful. We have to have very strict sadhana. And we should not be bewildered by Maya. Maya's bewilderment is just like Bharat Maharaj. There's so much to learn from that story. Huh? And that story is there for us to learn from. That's why it's in the Bhagavatam. Yet in the name of compassion, we have to understand where is our limitations and how we must behave under our circumstances. And for that reason, we need the association of devotees. See, Bharat Maharaj was alone. He had no satsang with other advanced devotees to inquire. So a devotee, even on that level, without the association of senior Vaishnavas, is in a very dangerous situation. Huh? But on whatever level we're on, if we're in the association of good devotees, and we're always humble, and we're always inquiring, their guidance and their blessings will protect us. But their guidance is that we have to be very strict, and we have to be very pure, we have to have very high principles in our spiritual life.
Hello? Hare Krishna. No, not yet. I'm sitting with Maharaj and some
See, the society of Vaishnavas, they will easily, especially brahmacharis, they will easily tell you, this is all nonsense. What are you doing? If it's just you and them, then you will become bewildered.
All right.
Correct?
All right. Huh?
So we have to be sincere, we have to be very strict. What is that verse? Nanvagni pramanam. What is that verse? Nanvagni pramanam nama grita kumbha samapun sutam apira hojaya anyadaya vadartha krita. Man is like pot of butter, and woman is like fire. If you put the two together for any length of time, no matter how solid the butter is, we'll melt. Haridas Thakur, for those 3 nights, he was with the prostitute. He didn't stay with her. He told her, you take my cab and I'm getting out of here. Right? As an example for all of us. That is the principle of nature. Man is like butter, woman is like fire. If you stay too close, you're going to melt. No matter who you are. Well, we have to understand how to associate. You have a wife, you have to, according to the Grihastha Ashram, you have to understand how to associate with wife. How to keep Krishna in the center, how to follow the regulative principles of Grihastha, how to have sadhana together, how to have good association with sadhana. You have to understand, sannyasi.
Hello, can I speak to Mr. Rishikesh
Mukhopadhyay? How to show compassion according to the principles of Krishna consciousness. Strictly know the limitations of our ashram in this regard, of what we can do and what we can't. If we follow those principles strictly, Krishna will protect us. But if we become proud and we think,
Hello?
Or sometimes
can I speak
we become so much caught up with compassion and
yes.
Wanting to help,
it's a personal call.
And in that we get all, we become bewildered. Maya is the bewildering energy. We may become bewildered. If we're sincere, Krishna will immediately come in through some Vaishnava or some realization to tell us, not like this, restful. And then we have to immediately.
Hello?
Become very strict.
Very well. Sorry to bother you, offense.
If after Krishna warns us, we're still so proud, we think we know better.
Then
we are finished.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no. He can't come at 4:30, right?
So that's a good question.
So then 4:30. Okay.
Chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Okay, so 4:30 should be all right.
And
so I'll
the
give up some yeah, just a minute. Is that possible?
Hmm?
Naji has a meeting 7 to 10, already engaged. So he says 4:30 to 5:30. The
association. We must chant our rounds every day. Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that for my followers, if they do not strictly chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra attentively every single day, they will fall victim to Maya at any moment. Always need the guidance of advanced devotees. If we simply humble ourselves before that guidance, humble ourselves before the assembled Vaishnavas, chant the holy name strictly, and follow the regulative principles of our ashram strictly, Krishna will protect us. If we are not strict, just inviting Maya, please, here I am, I'm ready for you, come get me. Huh? I'm ready, strict.
Sometimes we follow these principles in society or even the movement, the devotees themselves, they think us a fanatic or a person. We should not care for them, just you know.
We should care for everyone. You should not care for what they should not care for what they say. But when the representative of a guru says you're a fanatic, then you should care for it.